Right now, the world is getting casual about attacking Israel, but God never is. In Ezekiel chapter 35, he shows exactly how he responds when hatred towards his people becomes a way of life. This isn't just ancient history. It's a warning for our culture and a call to repent, bless Israel, and return to the God who owns the land and loves his covenant people. Stay with me, because how we treat Israel really does matter to God. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. Hey, I hope you're having a great day. We are in Old Testament Tuesday. It's one of my favorite days of the week because we dive into the book of Ezekiel, at least as of right now. So if you're enjoying this series, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. It truly does help us accomplish our goal, which is to change the heart so that we change the public square. So we are in Ezekiel chapter 35, and it is going to be an amazing chapter to go through. We're going to see Edom or Mount Seir, and this is those who had a long hatred towards Israel. So the title is When Hatred Becomes Heritage. And so oftentimes that can happen in societies that do not keep their hearts right before God. God will decisively judge entrenched, gloating hostility against his covenant people in order to vindicate his holy name and restore his people in hope. Now, a foundational scripture that you need to have prior to jumping in here is Leviticus 25:23. The land, moreover, shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine. And this is God speaking. For you are but aliens and sojourners with me. So he lays out the very concept that God owns the land. It's God's land. So you're going to see, because the Edomites did this, God will do this. And so we're going to see that here. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your face against Mount Seir or Edom and prophesy against it and say to it, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against you, Mount Seir, and I will stretch out my hand against you and make you a desolation. Now, where is this? So if you go below Israel and you go basically southeast of Israel, this is where Mount Seir or the Edomites are. It says, I will stretch out my hand against you and make you a desolation and a waste. I will lay waste your cities and you will become a desolation. Then you will know that I am the Lord, the God. So why did he do this? And he tells us right here, he's going to give us two becauses in verse 5. And then in verse 6, 7, 8, 9, he's going to say, I will. And then verse 10, because, and so it goes back and forth. So let's look at because number one. Because you have made an everlasting enmity, E-N-M-I-T-Y. So other words, hatred. Because you had an everlasting hatred, okay, towards who? Towards Israel. And have delivered the sons of Israel to the power of the sword at the time of their calamity, at the time of their punishment at the end. So they did two things. They had hatred towards Israel, and they had a sword that they, in their time of calamity, took towards Israel to punish them. So look at verse 6. Therefore, as I live, declares the Lord, I will give you over to bloodshed. So he's going to say, you're going to experience bloodshed. And bloodshed will pursue you, since you have not hated bloodshed, therefore your bloodshed will pursue you. He says, here's my first action. You've hated Israel, therefore you've handed Israel over to the sword. I'm going to pursue you. I will make Mount Seir a waste and a desolation, and I will cut off from it the one who passes through and returns. So he says, I'm going to cut you off. I will fill its mountains with its slain and your hills and your valleys and in all your ravines, those slain in the sword will fall. So he says, I'm going to wipe you out. This is kind of down towards Petra in modern day. I will make you an everlasting desolation and your cities will not be inhabited. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So he lays out for them the very fact that because they had done this, they had done two things. They hated Israel and they pursued Israel in their time of calamity, in their time of punishment. He says, I'm going to lay you out, right? I'm going to pursue you with the same sword that you pursued Israel, basically, and make you a desolation. And the outcome statement here is the second time. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Then you will know I am the Lord. Okay, so number three, because you have said these two nations and these two lands will be mine. Okay, what two nations? Northern kingdom, southern kingdom will be mine, and we will possess them, although the Lord was there. They said, you're going to take over the land of God. Remember, that's why I laid out Leviticus for you. Therefore, as I live, declares the Lord, I will. So he says, because you did this, I'm going to do that. Are you noticing the interaction between us and God? I will deal with you according to your anger and according to your envy, which you showed because of your hatred against them. So I will make myself known among them when I judge them. He says, I want you to be careful. Because you have tried to take over the two nations, which are mine, that God is saying, I was there. I'm there. It's my land. I will deal with you according to your anger. So when we have hatred towards Israel as a nation, or we have envy, which you showed me, that hatred again that we see, I will make myself, God says, I will make myself known among them when I judge you. And then this outcome, then you will know that I, the Lord your God, then you will know that I, the Lord, have heard all your revilings, which you have spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are laid desolate, they are given to us for food. All right, so now here's the next one in verse 13. And you have spoken arrogantly against me and have multiplied your words against me. I have heard it. God says, hey, you've been talking smack against me. You've been doing these things that against me. He says, I've heard it. Thus say the Lord, as all the earth rejoices, I will make you a desolation. Isn't that interesting? He's going to come at them. He says, you've been talking against God. You have been talking against the people of God. You have been talking against the land of God. He says, I'm going to make you a desolation. As you rejoiced over the inheritance of the house of Israel because it was desolate, so I will do to you. God's like, how you treat Israel, I'm going to treat you. You will be a desolation, O Mount Seir, and all Edom, all of it. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. So we're living in a day and age where people are flippant about how they treat Israel. And I would just say we have example after example in the book of Ezekiel that God does not deal favorably with those who mistreat Israel. So what do we do if we've done this? If we've said, oh, it's not real Israel, it's not this. Here's what we need to do. We need to take Joel's advice. Now, therefore, says the Lord God, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourn. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering, a drink offering for the Lord, Joel 2:12. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. This is important. May they prosper who love peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. So Psalm 122. So thinking about turning back to God, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And quite frankly, I think there's a lot in the United States and across our world who have a hatred towards Israel. And we need to turn and repent and love our God and love him with an everlasting love. It is God's chosen people. It is God's chosen land. And it is God's covenant that he has over them. I read that already. Leviticus 25:23, the land is God's. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For as you were once disobedient to God, you have now obtained mercy through their disobedience. Even so, these are also now having been disobedient, that through mercy showing you that they also may obtain mercy, for God has committed them all to disobedience that he might have mercy on all. Romans 11:29-32. So thinking about God still has a chosen people, a chosen nation, and that God is calling us to turn to him and to not be like the Edomites or Mount Seir and mock Israel in any way. All right, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God, we pray for the Jews all around the world, the as they return back to their homeland, as they go back to Israel, that you would be with them. God, we know that this war between Iran and Hezbollah and Hamas and the Gaza, all of it, God, we want you to be glorified. It's your land. It's your people. It's your covenant. And so, Lord, we want to bring all attention to you. God, we give you this time. We ask that we can be a blessing to Israel, that we can understand that you have a bride, your church, that you have a nation, Israel, and it's all because you are a sovereign God, and we trust you in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Get out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.